safety, and we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Freezing Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
My religion is a piano hanging over my about to break free. And I see it moving. Gotta pick up the group and let go. Everyone I know is running from the afterlife.
We're back at the races. Hour, well, not even hour. It's second half. We did 90. We'll do another 90 minutes. Larry Ravelli joins us, and there's all kinds of swings of emotion involved in the last 72 hours for Larry and his barn and his owners. A win. If this was a normal Monday or Tuesday recap show, Larry, I would say, well, Larry, a win in a second on Saturday.
Yeah, listen, I don't celebrate second place finishes too much, but if there's ever an exception, I guess it would have to be the Kentucky Derby.
We'll get to no balls in a minute, and then everything else that's going on. But let's talk about the feature on Saturday, and you know where I stood. I've been flogging him as a Derby win candidate for months. And I mean, I don't know what else you can ask a horse to do than what he did on Saturday.
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, we're all extremely proud. And, you know, just horse racing, it's 20 horses and, you know, everyone's bringing it. And we definitely brought it. He ran his guts out. And we all do to get him there and in good order. And today I just walked by his barn. He's like laying down. he's in the stall. He sleeps at this time every day. He came back good. He ate up everything. You know, I think Jareth rode the horse perfect. He had a great trip. he kind of, you know, he said, I kind of inherited the lead a little bit sooner than I wanted to. He was surprised at verifying, you know, backed up that fast, almost like right in his face. And so he had one spot to go, and that was to the rail. And the horse, I mean, Jareth never moved his hands. The horse just took him there. And we just got ran down. I mean, it was ace pole. I was probably, I don't even know if I took a breath. You know, I was just watching the board going, here we go. And then, you know, it's bittersweet. But, you know, like I said, I do not celebrate seconds ever. And this is an exception for sure.
A couple of things, and since we dove into the trip, we'll talk about it, and the way in which Jareth made that decision and took to that seam, and you know, verifying backing up as he moves from, you know, the 1.5 path, you know, to the rail. And yeah. And I mean, and then you know, the horse did exactly what we have all talked about as his attribute for this race, which was his ability to, you know, to rate kindly and then accelerate when asked, or
be tactical,
exactly.
and then keep going and keep moving forward. Right. No, I agree.
When he threw his ears up, Larry, that which is usually a sign that, I mean, he's, you know,
yeah, he's waiting for a cue.
Wow.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
Now the I don't know, you know, I don't know, and I've told everybody yesterday when I started to recap, you know, the day, I mean, it's tough not to be a little biased because it's the horse you bet. I mean, I bet, and and encourage people to bet. So you know, to run one of the best races in defeat that anybody has seen in recent years. I mean, Congaree was the first horse that I could think of, because you had to be a little concerned when that you know, the opening quarter went up and you realize, you know, 22:45 and change. I mean, that's a serious lick. It's faster than, it's even faster than we anticipated. And I thought it would be a fastish pace.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you're saying. You're spot on. It's, you know, back to the game, back to the grind, back to business. We're just going to, you know, we're going to skip the Preakness, and we're definitely not running there, and just look for, you know, different spots. There's plenty of races for him.
All right.
Like the horse, you know, it's 11 days from today. It's just too soon, and it's really not even, it wasn't really even a, didn't take much time to decide that, especially since we didn't win. We might have felt a little more to, you know, be on the Triple Crown trail, but to be honest with you, I might have skipped it regardless.
Well, and that would have been the pressure involved.
That would have been bigger news. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean that would have been a real problem, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, I could tell when I talked to you on Sunday. I could tell that you were very
simple. It's just,
yeah.
It's just too soon. Just yep. Too soon. I mean, he ran his guts out. You know what I mean? It's like. It's a no-brainer for us, for sure. Especially because he ran second and didn't win.
In terms of the way you prepared him, I mean, and you know, one of the things that some people suggested that, you know, that this, it wasn't necessarily a specialty for you. I mean, to train a horse to go a mile and a quarter, you know, what did, and I'm sure you saw and heard some of that. I mean, in terms of what you,
we had a horse came named Helicopter. He won. He broke the track record at like five different tracks for 2 miles, a mile and a quarter, It was at 2.25 miles. He was like a specialty horse. But yeah, I mean, I'm known more for sprinters, and it's just the type of horses that we had for all these years. And, you know, obviously my crew and myself and everybody else, it's just a matter of having the athlete. Like you said, I'm not going to run. I've had plenty of horses that ran long. They just weren't good enough to run in the Derby, you know. So I've maintained a pretty good strike rate over the years, and you know, we pride ourselves on winning, so you know, half that battle is running them in the right spot. No. And I'm fortunate enough to have owners that trust me, you know, to the end of time of where to go and what to do and when to do it. It's you know, it's all good on that front. I mean, there's nobody ever pointing the fingers if you mess up, because this is life. This is a game. I mean, you're going to make the wrong call every now and again. But most of the time, you know, I'm so tweaky and over the top that I'm, you know, I'm getting sick at 9 o'clock last night with one eye open, half asleep, tired, looking for a race for some horse somewhere on the other side of the country trying to win.
On that, and actually on that topic, one of the things we speculated during the week on in conversation, and in the conversation I had with Anthony last Tuesday, or Wednesday, whenever he got here, Tuesday, and one of the things that is interesting about the success that this horse is carving, and obviously, you know, it's going to be going to try to compete for the 3-year-old championship, but. Is it fair to say, Larry, that if Arlington wasn't in the process of closing, that the path for this horse might have been very different, that you might have been in Chicago with him running on turf and synthetic, and that he doesn't start his career the way he started it, you know, at Churchill, at Colonial, at Canterbury? I mean, you know, you're operating for the future, and it's not going to be in Chicago.
Probably, you know, it might have took a different turn. Probably not so with him, just for the fact that, you know, where he started at Hawthorne, and Arlington wouldn't have been open. I would have probably broke his maiden at Churchill versus Colonial, because we had to be out of Chicago at a certain date, and that was the spot that we selected to have. We brought our whole operation there at that time, so that's kind of why he ran there. And yeah, he may have broken his maiden in Chicago, you know, and then maybe he's taken a different path. But I think that as far as getting to where he got, the last few races would have probably been the same mapped out process, where, you know, wherever he broke his maiden and won his second race.
You know, one thing that is really gratifying and fascinating, I hope, for, you know, for people that are learning the game, there's a few things here. To have you and Gustavo Delgado, you know, be the, you know, the 1-2, the two horses that, you know, that ran by far the winning races. I mean, there's nobody else. The other 16, they could run this 1,000 times, and yeah, some things might break differently, but for the most part, the two of you are going to win this race the vast majority of the time. To have horses that on their way to the Derby had different experiences, you know, the Mage lightly raced, two fills, second in the LeCompte, third in the Risen Star, you know, a little dirtied up, then gets a win at Turfway on the synthetic. I mean, there's a lot of lessons about you know, moving forward with a horse and learning things about a horse, teaching things. Delgado has talked about it, you know, what he was trying to do with Mage to have him ready for Saturday. I mean, there's a lot of horsemanship involved here, and for handicappers, you have to really understand where a horse is potentially heading in this kind of a scenario.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the million-dollar question, is what to do next, where to go, how did you do it, why did you do it, and, you know, sometimes overthinking it, too, is a problem. You know, it was, like I said, it's like Robert Kraft. You know, he's not telling Bill Belichick what plays to run. He's not telling him who to play. And you know, it's the people that let the people that know what they're doing do what they do best. You know what I mean? And a lot of times these, you know, you've got different owners are different way. There's Jerry Jones and there's Rapoli and there's, you know, I mean, where's, you know, I feel bad for those guys. It's a terrible thing, but you know, at some point, you know, you're wondering, well, when's someone going to say something? You know what I mean? It's like, it's a terrible thing to happen. I mean, that would suck if it was me, and I can't even imagine, you know, but letting the people that know what's going on and what's doing run or do what they do best is the best way to do it, at least in my eyes. Now, there's always, you know, people outside, and you know this, there's people that always have an opinion. You got social media, which is what you do. But, you know, someone's always going to have an opinion. Someone's always going to, you know, somebody sitting at their desk that's, you know, running Microsoft is going to say, oh, I think we should have rolled this guy, or I think he should have did this. And you just look at the guy like, you know, shut up and just get back to your job where you made all your money and let us do the job. You know, it's the way it is. And that makes that has a lot to do with, you know, that makes having a bad owner will make a good trainer no good. Trust me.
Well, that certainly is true. And you know, there were so many things about the story that Anthony told last week in terms of, you know, trying to sell the horse and you know, him coming back and going forward with him. And you know, now you look at this record, a 56 buyer in his debut, a 69 when he broke the maiden, a 70, 75, 79, 86, 88, 101, now a 105. I mean, this is a horse that is just developed in absolute.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool that he's went up every race. He's gotten better, which is which is a tribute to everybody, but it's also, you know, it's on the horse. I mean, he's, you know, he has gotten better, and nobody could ever predict that. You know what I mean? Everybody who passed on the horse at the sale and all that stuff that Anthony was talking about, you know, nobody wanted this horse and this, that, and the other. He, you know, that's his horse. That's his deal. He's, you know, he gets jacked up about the whole thing all the time. That's his story. But I mean, there's a million horses that get overlooked all the time at these sales for whatever reason.
Yep.
And, you know, an athlete's an athlete, and this horse is definitely an athlete. And his attributes are that he is a sound-minded horse, which is going to, you know, it's going to keep him sound. It's going to keep him going the right way. Eventually, you know, I mean, it's like you knock on wood every day because the horse is just never taken a backwards move ever, which is unheard of.
Yep.
Especially, you know, the races the horse is running in and the venues he's been at and he's traveling and he's this and that. I mean, it's just amazing.
When did you know you had something over and above just a real nice stake horse?
After the Street Sense. After the Street Sense, I said, here we go. Let's we're going to point to the path of, you know, different path that we've ever never pointed to before. And all he had to do is have a hiccup one time and we were going to go a different path, and he didn't. Because like I said, I don't want to run it, you know. I don't want to run at 50-1 just to run and put a suit on and go out there and, you know, unless you're no balls, then maybe we'll give him a shot. But I did think that horse was an overlay, to be honest with you.
Oh, there's no doubt. And we'll get to that momentarily. Yeah. Talk about Jareth Loveberry, who even though it wasn't him, you know, with the rose blanket in his lap or at the press conference, this was a major coming out party for him.
Oh, yeah. And the way that the race unfolded and the ride that he put on the horse, I mean, it was, you know, listen, like I said, I had full confidence in him, and so did everybody else on our team. And, you know, it was, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I watch the kid ride every day. I watch him ride all the time. He's getting a little bit more of a spotlight because we're doing, you know, we're doing bigger and better things now. But, you know, he won the title at Arlington 2 years in a row, 3 years in a row. And, you know, he's, you know, definitely in the category of those guys. It's just, you got to get the opportunities. Like I told you or somebody before, it's, you know, you could be the best race car driver on the planet, and I got a Corvette, you got a Pinto. It don't matter. I could be all over the road and I'm still going to beat you. Hmm. You know, and you can drive the greatest race drive, you know, greatest race of your life, and you're going to get killed because you're just, I'm on a Corvette and you're in a Pinto. It's the way it goes. He's definitely rode a good race. He's definitely come a long way, and his hard work and everything that he's done is well deserved. But still, you can work. I can work as hard as I want, and I can go out every day and throw 100 footballs through, you know, through tires, and you know, throw. And I'm not going to be Tom Brady. I'm not going to be Peyton Manning. So it doesn't mean you have to be, you know, just because you put all the work and try hard. You know, a lot of people do that, and they're not, you know, they don't make it to the apex of anything. And you just gotta have the people behind you that are going to support you, and hopefully, you know, outcomes like yesterday are definitely going to, you know, keep you moving forward. But in my mind, it's, you know, the kid's a great, good rider, and get on the verge of being a great rider. Just got to have the opportunities, that's all. Wow. Same thing with me. I've just of late gotten better. You know, I've always had good horses, and I always know what to do, and I always, you know where to run them and spot them, and that's why we've been successful. But I haven't had a horse of this quality at this stage of his career and wanting to run long like he does, and now we do. And you know, now you got to not fumble the ball. You know, you got to maintain, and it's hard to do. Look at Forte and Fletcher, the Hall of Famer in my eyes, no doubt, a million times over. He's faulted. He steps on a rock, and bruises his foot. Nobody's. No. Just messed up, you know, it sucks.
And everybody's had those kinds of disappointments.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You kidding me? I've hit 100 of them, not on the big stage like that, but I mean, that's why I could say it just makes it even worse.
Well, you know, one thing about this, too, for you in the spotlight, somehow the maybe the least known winner of 1,700 races in the country.
Yeah.
Right? That's a lot of wins.
Yep.
You know, he's also one thing that I realized too, looking up stats, he's your first millionaire, became a millionaire on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, 1.2 something. I just looked at that yesterday. Yeah. That thought went through my head, yep.
Well, he'll be your first grade one winner. As well, and you mentioned a couple of spots, you know, that you would think about Travers for as a late summer goal, but you know, maybe one of the regional derbies, and you picked one of the richer ones in the West Virginia Derby, Indiana in July.
Yeah, I think Ohio's 500.
Yeah.
The Matt wins 400, and there's a couple of you know, just to get for the Jim Dandy or the Travers. It's those two spots probably would be on the radar.
Nice.
Later down the line. But like I said, I'm not going to overrun him. He'll just run one race before those races, and depending on where it is, and try to find the best spot for the most money. And unless there's, you know, there's other things that might play part in it. We got some inquiries now on stallion rights and stuff like that. So,
right.
You know, a grade one versus a grade two and a grade two versus a grade three. It just depends on, you know, where we go and who signs up and, you know, what kind of, you know, agreements we make and deals we make and stuff like that. So that plays a little bit of a part in it, but I won't let it play too much of a part in it. I just want to put him in a spot where he can be successful and win. You know, if it's 600,000 or 500,000 or 700,000 versus, you know, whatever, it's probably not going to sway us that much.
Well, the black type and you know, the grade ones, and if there's if there's some, you know, if certain inquiries are being made, the kickers, kickers, they'll be, you know, it's funny, very famously, his sire, there was a kicker for him to win a grade one, and Larry Jones angled him straight to the King's Bishop to get that grade one and that kicker.
Yep, exactly. Stuff like that is going to start playing a little, you know, making a little bit of a difference.
Well, there were so many things that made a difference. Those works at Hawthorne that were out of sight, that at least kept the price at 9-1. If anybody, if those had been at Churchill, he would have been 7-2.
Yeah, it would have been on every clocker's radar. Over there and everything, right? Yeah, sure.
Well, I cannot tell you. I mean, you talked enough, and you know how much I thought of this opportunity.
No, I did. Yep.
To me, he looked like a beach ball coming into this. Unbelievable.
Funny.
Let's talk about the other opportunity, the win, and no balls. Being down in retrospect, I know some people were caught off guard, but you said all the right things that there wasn't a ton of speed, and you were on the cleanest, freshest part of the turf course with the rails having come down on Friday. And the other, by the way, we're all talking about Loveberry. The other guy that is people got to take a note of is Gerardo Corrales. I mean, this kid, it's terrific.
He's a good rider too, real good. He dominated over there at Turfway, and he rode first call for me at Turfway. I know Wesley Ward started him out, got him rolling.
Yep.
And Cliff's a good friend of mine, his agent, Cliff Collier. And, he's a good rider, real good. I mean, we like him a lot. I kept him on the horse because he won 3 stakes on him the year before. We had a big excuse, and Noballs had a big excuse in his race the time before at Keeneland. He acted up, which he's never done in his life. And ended up breaking slow, just coming out of there, a little bit. And he's never been behind horses in his life. Then he got checked and checked and checked. And the kid said, I could never get him out. I could never get him out. I could never get him out. I'm sorry. I said, listen, and I'm a terrible guy to ride for. I get mad, pissed off. And I agree. I mean, there's nothing I can say. Shit happens. And it happened that day. Bad. And I put him back on. I mean, because I could have easily put Loveberry on. It's my guy, But I wanted to stick with the guy that won on the horse 3 times. I know he knows him. I just told him, whatever you do, make the lead no matter what.
That was
like he stood there perfectly. We schooled him all week. Stood there perfectly.
Nice.
And broke good enough in that race because there was no pace in there. And once he made the lead in 22, usually he's 21 and change and this, that, and the other. I knew he was going to. And when he spurted at the top of the lane, I was like, here we go. Everybody, people bet on that horse all in my, in my camp and all my kids and everybody, they thought the game was the greatest game ever. And this is easy. Funny stories is the cutest thing. It's so funny. If my daughter, she's 22 years old, she's graduating from Miami of Ohio. And, she is like a regimented, obsessive about 7:30, I got to get up, 7:45, I'm going to eat breakfast, 8:15, we're going to be in the car, and, and 9 o'clock, I'll be at school. And I mean, everything, her whole life, right, which drives me crazy, but this is the way she is. And she's manages her money and everything is this and that. And okay, with $20 and I got 40 and I taught skating today and I got a lesson and I put the money in my savings account. She sends me a text, Dad, I had the greatest time. She goes, what do you think if I buy in on a horse? I said, are you freaking crazy? I said, get out of here. No, that was it. And I haven't heard from her since after that. It's so funny. I mean, coming from her, you just have to know her. It was just the funniest thing. I don't think she, I go, do you have any concept what this costs to maintain a horse? I said, here's what's going to happen. if you did this, it would just be all on me. That's how it would work. Everything, if it blew, it was just so cute. It was funny. Like she never ever brought that up ever. Now she's thinking about buying a piece of a horse.
Well, because
it made me laugh. They think it's easy,
Well, it is easy when every $6 you put in, 2 across brings back 130.
Yep.
Because that's what it was. That's exactly 78, 42, 34, 62, and 17.56 to place. I mean, the just fabulous numbers. And you know what? I didn't realize until just now he was the longest shot on the board.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, what do you got for him? Does he want to go longer?
Absolutely not.
No? Jiper?
Absolutely not.
No. All right. Well, he got 102. He got a 102 buyer.
Yeah.
Career best. That way,
we're just going to keep I'll just find a spot for him.
All right.
That's what we're doing.
Nothing's going to – not too much is changing.
Yeah, right.
Right? And finally, for Vince, I got the first chance for me to meet Vince Foglia, which was terrific. And I thought that from that standpoint, you got some nice collection of people. That includes Sal Kumin buying in as well to two Phils. It's obviously a family barn.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, Sal's a good guy, man. We met him for the first time there, and he seems like one of the guys, which is what we do.
Well. I'll check back with you on this.
You got
in
it.
A few months. What? Larry, obviously I'm sorry that you're going to bypass Baltimore, but you obviously got a plan, and having this horse maximize opportunities, I guess, down the road is the priority. So.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we do what's right by the horse, and that's what I think is right by the horse at this time.
Fair enough. Well,
yep.
Well done. And just
thanks, brother.
You that feeling, I imagine, from the top of the stretch home.
Yeah.
Has to be amazing.
It was everything. It was everything in my power to. I'd give him a different response than I gave him after he stuck the microphone in my face and asked me what my feelings were 32 seconds after the wire.
Yeah, for those for those that didn't hear it or see it. Fuck.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly. That's what that was. Exactly.
I love it. Larry.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It, brother.
Thank
Anytime,
you.
Buddy. You know that. You're my man.
You're too kind. Larry Ravelli, everybody. Unbelievable. Larry Ravelli. I'll ride Ravelli. If you've never seen remember the commercial? We used to run it on the, in fact, we used to run that commercial on Night School. The Ravelli commercial. He's tremendous. And Dennis Cooper. The famous career jock agent turns to the camera and said, Ravelli? I'll ride Ravelli. That's where that line comes from, if you heard that bandied about the internet this week. Let's talk to Andy Serling and get Andy's take on the races, Derby and Oaks and everything else. He was on hand here at Churchill Downs. And proved very popular too around the paddock and around the racetrack. Andy, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Outstanding. Just off with Ravelli, and I'm still here. I'm still in Louisville. Why didn't you stay?
You're really starting off with a bang on today's show, aren't you?
How was your Oaks Derby experience?
It was right up there in the top moments of my life. They're hard to even describe how incredible it was. It was fun. Why wouldn't it be fun?
I hear you. There's few experiences in the sport that
they're fun. I don't know. I find a lot of fun.
No, I mean unique. It's the atmosphere, the facility, there's certain things about it that are. In fact, who was I talking to about this? Billy Rappaport actually last night, and because he's produced dozens of derbies for TV, and he says it just never gets old.
Yeah, I enjoyed myself. I had a really good time. I mean. Should we discuss my experiences?
If you'd like.
You want an hour by hour? Certainly there's something better to talk about than my experience at the Derby, which was very enjoyable.
Talk about then your wagering at the Derby and your impressions.
We're not talking about my betting.
When I say that, I mean your impressions of the race.
My impressions of the Derby?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's sort of... kind of old news at this point, right? Tuvils ran the best race. He ran second. Mage ran really well. And, you know, I was happy for Javier. And you know, I mean, I thought it was a, I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't have, I'm sorry. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good race. A lot of horses sort of didn't show up besides the fact, you know, the pace fell apart. I mean, I'm sure everybody's gone over this. I don't think I'm covering any new ground. You know, Tuvils almost survived at an amazingly fast pace, probably as well as any horse has done, and if not ever, in a long, long time. And Mage got a terrific ride by Javier, and sort of the only one of the, you know, the three essential closers. I know Angel Vampire ran third, but he didn't do any significant running until the race was basically over. And, of course, Tapitrice and the three of them sort of spent the race running close to each other. And Tapitrice was dreadful. He didn't run at all. And, I mean, I'm not really, you know, I mean, I think his show ran an interestingly good race. All things considered, you know, he was at least reasonably close to the pace at one point in there. So I thought his performance was okay. And anybody else that did any seeming running was mostly just sort of sucking up a fast pace that was falling apart.
What lessons were there? What do we take away from with the Japanese horses and the UAE Derby question that was? You know,
I don't think there's anything new to cover there. I think it's a frivolous way to try to win a Kentucky Derby. I think it's a big purse race. It's eminently winnable every year. And I thought, you know, was it Brandon Walsh that went over and won with that subpar horse sometime in the last few years? Thought that was a very smart move. Was it Brandon or somebody else?
You mean the Turf Sprint race?
No, the UAE Derby. We're talking about the UAE Derby, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody went over there. Maybe it was Kenny McPeak. I don't know. Somebody went over there and won with a bad three-year-old. And won a bunch of money, and it was really smart. But they also knew they wouldn't have a Derby horse. I don't know, some of the last few runnings of the UAE Derby. You know, I don't know what to make of that horse, how good he really is, but he obviously wasn't good enough to be effective in there. I mean, he didn't break that sharply, but if he broke well as part of the pace, was that going to work out well for him? So, as I said, was sucking up a few spots late in the race, sort of like disarm. Was that really doing any real running? This sort of showed up a little bit better than a lot of horses that didn't show up. Had a bunch of horses that were involved in the pace that just, you know, weren't good enough, but also were completely sapped by the pace. I mean, it's similar to the Derby every year, right? Isn't the Derby filled with a lot of horses that don't really show up for whatever reasons?
Yeah.
Doesn't that happen sort of every year?
To some degree. I mean, one thing that is amazing is that considering, you know, the bulk of the field, the size of the field, that the race, and obviously there was the maximum security problem, but and DQ, but for the most part, it's amazing how cleanly the race it runs with in this mm-hmm. case 18 horses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I think the race was fairly cleanly run. I think it's a good point. I think that happens most years. Yeah, that it's a lot more cleanly run than people realize. And I think in this race, you know, there were sort of two sets of horses, right? Those that were involved in the wicked pace, of which only Tuvils was able to survive, and those that were much farther back, of which really only Mage did significant running. And Angel Vampire ran fine, but, you know, really was just picking up pieces when the race was over. And I just don't think there was really anybody else to take out of there. And the only horses that would be of interest to me going forward would be possibly be horses that were forward there. Now, I don't, you know, Kings Barnes has yet to run a race that did a lot for me, but I guess he could run better. Verifying, you know, I don't know if he survived the race, but he'd be a very interesting horse for a race like the Woody Stevens. Maybe Kings Barnes would too. It's not a move you see Todd make a lot, but it might be an interesting race. Who else was involved in the pace?
You had, I got this actually marked up pretty clearly. excuse me. Verifying was first early, Kingsbarn second, Reincarnate third, Two Fills fourth, Confidence Game fifth.
If Reincarnate, he's just not that good. What they do with him, I don't know. He's going back to Bob. So, you know, I mean, I suppose he could look at a race like the Woody Stevens. I wonder if K-Brock's going to Woody Stevens. Is he still working?
As far as I know.
Yeah. I think Confidence Game's an interesting horse because he had run so well in the Rebel. And, you know, it's obviously, I mean, what they probably should have done with him was run him in the Lexington and then run him in the Preakness. I say that before the race, so I'll say it now. But I think their point was the Preakness now, and he's a horse that could run a lot better. He could be a very interesting horse in the Preakness, actually, because obviously he needed that race, and I don't know. How much did he get beaten by Confidence Game?
Confidence Game was beaten. Let's add him up. 3.5,
well,
4.5, 5. He finished 10th. Split the field. 1.5, 4.5, 5.5, 6.
I think it was the only 14 lines back or something.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right.
Well, he might be sort of an interesting horse. He could be an interesting Preakness horse.
He's going. It seems they got another vote of confidence this morning from DeSormo, I think. I'm glad you acknowledged Hitshow, who was sort of the next, you know, he's sort of leading the pressers, the sort of that second group behind the speeds. He was on the front of that, and he stayed on nicely. He's got.
I thought he ran well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think outside of Two Fills, you know, and obviously the winner, Angel Empire's fine. I mean, I'm not. Is he coming back in the Preakness? Saying only three horses are right in the Preakness now?
Yes.
Confidence Game, Mage, and who's the third? Oh, Disarm. He's not winning the Preakness. But one thing we like about Steve, he runs his horses.
He does.
Yeah. I was surprised they didn't run Two Fills back. I think he would have been the horse to beat. But not my horse. yeah. Listen, I think Mage is obviously very good. He showed his other races. I made the mistake of saying these horses, three starts just as a way of blowing up on them. But I was wrong in that. It didn't blow up at all. He just kept getting better. And, you know, we had said more than a few times that he did run the better race in the Florida Derby.
That's true. That's true.
He ran really well, but he's improved with every start. And he's an unusual horse in that regard. He's very, very good. And Javier gave him such a good ride. Javier seemed to be very aware of where both Tappet Price and Angel of Empire were. And, you know, they were the first and second choices. And it feels like watching the replay, and I've watched it a few times, just focusing on those three horses and where they were placed. And Javier was very aware of where they were. And the reality was that Tappet Price obviously did no running at all, and Luis was riding him the entire way. And Mage was able to accelerate away from Angel of Empire around the 5/16 pole, 3/8 to 5/16 pole. And he made the winning move, and Angel of Empire just picked up pieces at the end. But, you know, other than Two Fills, Mage ran very, very well in there. And they actually deserve a lot of credit. Like everybody else, I was very happy for Javier, you know, and
definitely
really happy.
Definitely.
Always happy. I'm always happy for Javier when he wins, but obviously that was a particularly special win for him.
Agreed. We talked to
He gave the horse an exceptional ride in every way. One thing, you know, I suppose the other horse and said he was, you know, obviously better than the other horse's ride. And they said, you know, the problem is the horse he gets left there. He's gotten left in his last two starts, and Javier agreed. And I said, you're a very good rider. I said, you're probably the perfect rider for a horse that has gait issues because he's very good out of the gate. He's very, very smart. And the horse didn't break that badly. And Javier immediately got position with him. In fact, the horse had probably had a little trouble at the start that we was talking about his Two Fills. He got bumped a little at the start. I don't think it cost him the race, but he didn't have a pretty clean break.
That's fair.
He was exceptional. I mean, his performance is one of those losing performances that people will always remember, you know?
Yep.
I mean, if you don't understand the Two Fills ran the best race in there, you just don't. You refuse to understand the logic of horse racing and how it's run. But that doesn't take anything away from Nage, who ran terrific. And he got the money.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I think they both ran really well. Listen, I don't think Angel Empire ran badly. But I think of the first three finishers, he was the one that sort of benefited the most from the dynamics and did the least running. I think the first two did much more running than he did, that's all. I think a lot of people will be looking at First Mission, the horse who won the Lexington in the Preakness. I don't see why not. He would have to improve a little bit. I know you're rooting for him. You always root for the Dolphin horses. So you're pretty excited, pretty mischievous, pretty mischievous. Who else are the new shooters in the Preakness? Are there any of any merit?
Shug is coming back with Perform, the Tessio winner.
As I said, is there any with any merit?
Whoa, hey now. How about... did you mention Blazing Sevens?
Once again, ready with any merit. I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't be too eager to be running horses out of the bluegrass because, you know, maybe it's just random, but boy, did that race come up a stinker in this year's Derby.
I've been waiting for someone to point that out after the ooing and cooing and eyeing.
I thought it was the best prep. I was wrong about that. So I'm not, I'm one of them. I'm ooing and eyeing, but... thought it was a good race, but maybe it was, but it turned me bad. I mean, I think, listen, obviously, if you're the connections of Blazing Sevens, you've seen Chad Brown's success. They were very different situations. I think the Blazing Sevens needs to cut back in distance. I think he's a 7 furlong to a mile horse. You know, I think he could win the Woody Stevens. Certainly could win the Dwyer. Certainly could win the Allen Jerkins, but it is a Triple Crown race, and they're probably going to be tempted. And I guess the more horses that drop out, the more likely they would be to run. He's not going to be that big a price, but he's not likely to be a horse that I want to bet in there. Contrary to the opinions of others who think I want to bet in every Chad Brown horse. Doesn't mean I won't be happy if he wins, and I'm wrong, but... very unlikely for me to be betting on Blazing Sevens. There, it just doesn't look like a horse to me. It runs better with more distance. And he's demonstrating that in his races.
Well, that's that's part of the equation. Let's hit a couple of the undercard highlights before we get to Friday. That up to the mark that won the Old Forster.
It was a terrible field, but he certainly ran reasonably well.
Right? He blew that apart.
Yep. Well, it was a field that was ready to be blown apart, and he did it. He was much the best in there.
It really was.
That's a division that they could use some good horses, so let's hope he continues to run well. A surprising horse. He really didn't have much turf pedigree. And remember him being surprising when he won on the turf kind of Gulfstream. And, he was a horse that broke his maiden with a lot of fanfare up in Saratoga, and he just didn't pan out. But boy, he's really turned into a good turf horse. And man, do we need some of them.
What was your thoughts about Arad getting pocketed and pinned and hemmed down?
Goodnight
Olive.
I think the other riders did their jobs, and they race rode the way they were supposed to ride.
Yep.
I think Irad would agree that riders' jobs is not to let other riders out. He certainly rides that way. I mean, in retrospect, I think the mistake, and it's easy for me to say what the mistakes they've made in retrospect, but the mistake they made was not realizing that their chief competition, the 3 and 5, were both outside of them, and they're more forwardly placed horses. So the possibility of getting into trouble existed. And I think in those situations, and once again, this is after the race, so it's very easy for me to say it, but in result, the answer is you're kind of supposed to ride your horse out of the gate enough to give yourself a chance to create some separation. And as opposed to letting the race come to you. And in those situations, it's, riding your 3 to 5 shot like if you're riding a 3 to 5 shot. In other words, not just expect you're going to win, but do what you can early. But this is easy to say after the race. And I'm sure in retrospect, both Irad and Chad wish they had been more aggressive coming out of the gate to hopefully give a chance to create enough separation where they could have gotten themselves outside earlier.
Right.
And that's obviously the only way that could have been avoided. But as you know, I applaud riders for riding. You know, I mean, what was Tyler supposed to do? I'm looking, hey, we'll let him out. Why should he do that?
No.
Why would he diminish his chances of a better finish? Obviously, Goodnight Alice would have won the race if she got out, but she didn't. But, I mean, it's easy to blame Myra after the race. The question is, you know, do you suggest before the race they do that? Do you see that? He had a pretty good ride the next race.
Yes.
I think there's more scrutiny on it because Irad's been going through a bit of a slump. I mean, his Keeneland was obviously a disaster.
That's true.
His results there, you know, they speak for themselves. He's still a pretty good rider.
Yeah,
so,
no doubt.
You know, but I think the result of it is that don't take for granted when you're riding the best horse. You know,
yep.
Still realize you're going to have to make, you know, do what you can to not get yourself locked in like that. It's also easier often to get out in the turf than it is in the dirt. So anyway, listen, it doesn't mean that the winner isn't a decent horse, Matarea. Though I think a Night Olive would have won if she had been able to get out. It happens in racing.
Cody's Wish, Andy, is clearly among the, I mean, he's a specialty distance type, but he's clearly one of the best older horses in the country.
Well, you say he's a specialty distance type. They're already talking about pointing him to Whitney, which they should do. And listen, one thing about Bill Mott, he's not afraid to run. He runs. He was terrific. I mean, was it a particularly good field? No. But it was a slow pace, and he just destroyed them. He's really good. And you think about him and the big figure that Smile Happy got, and, you know, whatever you want to think of Repo Rocks, you got a big figure winning that Westchester. The Met Mile with those three horses and others is shaping up. It's a very good race, and you have to imagine they're trying to get there with Tabor, right?
Yeah.
I think he worked yesterday or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's shaping up as a terrific race. And Smile Happy ran a huge figure. I know it was Friday. We got a 110 buyer. And, I mean, I would think a one-turn mile would just be absolutely perfect for him. But Cody's Wish is terrific. He really ran well. First start of the year, no pace. I mean, it was a subpar field, but he beat him up like a subpar field.
We should talk about the other 2 3-year-old boy races from Saturday. I brought up Web Slinger with Javi, and you know, he's been riding him, and he had nice things to say. He talked to Suge earlier about General Jim, and he's going to keep moving forward.
Well, I imagine he's pointing towards the Woody with him
for now. Yes, but then the Dwyer and beyond. He wants them.
Oh, I mean, listen, he had, you know, missed time, and he had run a good race, and he won with the Swale.
Yep.
He run that good 90 figure, and it looked like a promising horse, and then he missed time, and to come back and run a solid race in there. What figure did that race get?
That got 100 flat.
Oh, well, no. Hey, listen, good time to have an emerging horse that can run well in these one-turn races, because it's not exactly the strongest group as of now. So he has to be considered a force heading towards the Woody.
Woody, it is. You know, the Web Slinger's win. Web Slinger was one of the real value opportunities on the card.
He was a value opportunity that won. I'm sure there were value opportunities that lost.
That's true.
He was a value opportunity. He wasn't overlay. I mean, I'd like him much later for a pick, but, you know, I was more focused on Sugar's horse that got scratched and Carl Spackler, who, do we know anything? Did he bleed? Did something? Jeez, he stopped off the stretch.
Yep, have not heard. Have not heard
And obviously the scratch and Shook's horse was a disappointment. The second horse ran well. I don't know if he ran $2.4 million well, but he ran well. But I'm not sure you're ever going to do well paying that kind of money for 3-year-old turf horses. Web Slinger's okay. Nice. Following, he was three wide the whole way, but he's following Carl Spackler, but he ran well. I remember, what were the other races? Were there any others we should talk about?
Well, Fluffy Socks ran nice.
Yeah, she got a very good trip and ride, and listen, she's been a horse that's been unlucky in a lot of races. Yeah, I mean, Cinderella will come back and run better. She was way over bad. I don't know why she was odds on in that race. I mean, I know she's a nice horse, but you know, once they sent Hardy the lead, it took away the potential advantage that she had. And, I mean, she's a good horse, but she was coming off a pretty long layoff. And
yeah.
It's not like she had some sort of figure edge. She had to be expected to improve. And I do think she's a good horse, and I'm sure the Grand will do well with her, but she shouldn't have been that price in there.
No. No, agreed. You know, we should mention, too, from Friday, Oaks, first of all, where Pretty Mischievous was very, very good. We talked to Brent.
Yeah, she was right on top of the pace. The pace basically fell apart. She was wide the whole way, not excessively wide. I thought Tyler did a good job of being only three wide in the first turn. Got good position. Yeah, she ran a terrific race. I was happy for Brandon Walsh as well. And he's, you know, a good job. But she was, I liked her, so she was, seemed like a pretty logical horse in there. Yeah, betting on horses like Wet Paint at 8-5 and Big Fields, they're going to come from way back is just not a good way to make money. It was one of the reasons I picked against her. I assumed she'd be overbet, and you know, I also got past a lot of horses in those kind of races, and she has been very fortunate. And I'm sure some of it deserves it. She's a fairly nimble horse, but she's been fortunate to not really have a stronger path in those Oaklawn races and to have assumed that it would work out that way in there. No, I didn't watch the race again, so maybe she did have a pretty clean trip and just wasn't good enough. She's still a fairly nice horse, but it's not like she was running gigantic figures. And the New York bred Gambling Girl ran extremely well. I didn't see her, but she really ran well. So she represented the Gazelle well. Unfortunately, Racehorse did not, but Pretty Mischievous was good in there. She was clearly the best horse.
The I want to talk about the Eight Bells too. The chance to bet against Money's Gold, and
I didn't think she would lose. I thought she would win, so it wasn't a chance to bet against her by me. I didn't bet the race, but
well, Nick talked about Red Carpet Ready on the turn back
I thought she was the most likely second place finisher to Money's Gold. What kind of figure did that race get?
Got a 92.
So Money's Gold did take a big step back. And she was, I mean, the vulnerability, I guess the suggestion was running without Lasix for the first time, and she obviously didn't run, but she didn't run badly.
No, didn't run badly.
And it's not like Red Car Ready. I mean, Red Car Ready was not on the rail last time. The horse that was on the rail was Undervalued Asset, who ran very well in finishing second in the second race. Red Car Ready was a little bit off the rail. But she had, you know, she was just an aggressive pace in the Bluegrass. Not the Bluegrass, the Devoted Dale. But yeah, she's okay. But, you know, Money's Gold, I don't know, you know, I think that'll probably, it would probably discourage them from wanting to go a mile and a 16th in a race like the Acorn, but obviously it helps for Todd that Gambling Girl ran so well, so they can be encouraged to run her in the Acorn. We'll see. I don't know, you know, but I wasn't against Money's Gold, so I'm not going to sit here and say it was an opportunity to bet against her. She lost. I expected her to win.
No, I did too. I picked her on top too, but interesting. I think we may talk to Rusty actually later today, and had a wonderful visit with Phil Bauer. You know, who's made a name for himself at Saratoga the last couple of summers, 6 wins last year, and his first Grade One, Andy, winning the La Troyenne with that Played Hard, and I tell you, she ran hard, that filly.
She did. She ran very well. That's the second and third place finishers ran well in there. It's a funny track because there were races where it seemed like the rail was the place to be, and there were races where it seemed like you needed to be outside. And I wouldn't want to have to make a track trend for that thing during the day as far as inside-outside because there's really contradictory evidence in the track as far as whether you want to be inside or outside. I can't figure it out.
It's so funny. It's so funny you say this, because I had Frank Angst on the Saturday show, and I was in the same quandary. And he said, you know, to me it seems like it's an outside track, and I was like, I don't know. It seems to me like it's an inside track. It was crazy.
There were races where it seemed like races were being run in very different manners at different times. Inconclusively, too.
Yeah.
One thing to say a track is fair, but I don't know about that because, and it's funny with Churchill. Now, I didn't see their races on Thursday, but I just unfortunately have to see them on Tuesday and Wednesday. And it seemed like a dead rail to me. It seemed very clearly, especially Tuesday. Some horses, but once again, some horses ran okay inside on Wednesday. But I saw on Tuesday, they didn't run well inside at all, which is unusual because, as I've watched a lot of Churchill over the last few years, there has been a strong inside bias for a lot of their racing on the dirt, a lot. Hard to pass, horses moving well inside. Not all of it, but a lot of it. And once again, I'm usually looking at half the card, and I'm not paying the attention that I do to our New York racing. But boy, it seemed like a lot of strong insides. And that was not the case on Tuesday and Wednesday in what I saw. And there were times it seemed like that on Friday, and times it seemed like the opposite. So I don't know. You know, did search results benefit from being inside? Was she hurt by it? Did it not matter? Did those horses benefit from being outside? I don't know. Secret Oath ran well again. The problem is that Lukey won't. He won't pass a race with her. I don't know if she's going to run the Alaire DuPont to prep for the Ogden Tips, but, Wayne, I'm sorry, you're laughing? I'm serious. Why are you laughing? You really think it's impossible?
No, it's not. It's not impossible. It's okay. Not. It's not.
Okay. I wasn't joking.
It's not. Right. I know.
Wayne will run them. It was certainly, but listen, she ran well in there, so you can't knock him for running. On the other hand, Last Samurai did not show up at all. He was coming back a week earlier, though, right?
Yes, from the Oaklawn Handicap. Yeah, yes, you're right. You're right.
sorry, I have a frog in my throat. And what else? What were the other races?
How good do you think this Didia is, the modesty winner of Nacho Correa's?
I saw Nacho.
He's the greatest.
I haven't seen him in forever. What race was that? The modesty.
The modesty. You're early on the card Friday.
She seems to be a nice, improving horse.
I think so.
I didn't have a strong opinion about that race one way or another, but she seemed to run well in there. Nobody really made up much ground. Yeah, she had a good trip, but she ran well. Yeah.
There's some, I think, I know he's excited.
She'll be looking into New York, right?
Yes, I imagine.
Good.
And
I hope so.
Carlo Vacca raises Philly that set the lead, stayed on pretty well. And Brendan Walsh told us earlier he was satisfied with New Year's Eve.
She ran well. Yeah, she ran fun.
And I think he thinks she's going to be okay. The one that sort of lost her way is Lady Rockstar seems to have.
Who's she?
She's that Frankel filly that burst on the scene last year. She won that allowance.
She obviously didn't burst on my scene.
No, she didn't. She won her first two starts in North America and looked like she was going to be something, and she just hasn't managed to break through.
She's a Godolphin horse who got perfect trips to win. Yeah, I remember her. No, I'm not. You're ridiculous. I think the horse did really run. I mean, obviously, what's her name? Chad's horse I know she won at Tampa last time, but she just obviously never really found that groove she has as a 3-year-old.
Shantasara.
I know the pace was slow, but still, she's obviously disappointing. It just shows what happens when they have issues like that. And McCulloch was disappointing. But, they'll get other chances. McCulloch was making just her first start of the year. Like Spenderella, she'll be better.
Exactly. Caravelle was Caravelle.
That was some days. They couldn't have tailor-made a better race for her, right?
Somewhat.
Ace.
Somewhat.
She's cruising for a bruising. Where's she going next?
Well, the thing is,
she might be in a race where a talented speed horse actually goes to the front.
Who knows?
It could happen.
It would make things interesting, right?
I don't know if it would be that interesting for her, but anyway. She actually would be going to rain, but whatever.
This is pretty good. And I guess the last stake was the Maya Comet filly that won the 3-year-old filly that won the Edgewood Heavenly Sunday wired that field at 10-1.
Oh yeah, the Brad Cox horse. Yeah. Yeah. I don't have much opinion on that race. I mean, I just don't.
Yeah, it's all right. You don't have to. Did you catch up? I should ask, and I haven't, because I haven't mentioned anything else except what went on here, but we should mention Friday, Higher Truth wins the Sheepshead Bay. You referenced Repo Rocks with another big
Repo.
Effort.
Repo.
I always think of Repo Man whenever I see that.
And, so do I, for a variety of reasons, but anyway.
Anaconda in the elusive quality on Saturday. I did mention Ottoman Fleet. The fourth of the Godolphin stake winners.
Strongly following the Godolphin horses.
That's me. What about Pass the Champagne? Let's give George, in fact, I should call George. George wins with her at a square price, too, $17 winning the Ruffian.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I tried to catch one of those races a little bit yesterday, but I didn't handicap them, so I don't really have much opinion on
them. I understand. I just want to give everybody the results because we hadn't had a chance to really look at anything.
Yeah, and Passing Champagne has got to be a very frustrating horse, so I'm sure they were, you know, it was very rewarding because she's obviously extremely talented. When she lost that tough race, the 3-year-old to, what's her name? Malathot in the Ashland, and she just had issues that kept her off the track, and that'll head her towards the FIPS, and she ran very, what kind of figure did she get? I didn't notice.
She got a...
She won by a lot.
She got a 94.
Well, she'll have to get faster, but maybe she can.
A 109 for Repo.
Yeah. I don't understand why Zandon was 3-5 in that race, 1-2, and that was ridiculous. I actually watched that race with Chad Brown, as it turns out, and both of us were surprised that he was as short as he was. Not that he was, he's not a good horse, he did run well. He got a 101 buyer. Ran into a horse that was a claimer that now runs 110 buyers. But he was certainly a very short price in there. I'm not sure why he was that short a price.
You know, big name, recognizable name, I guess.
He'll go forward the Met Mile. You know, maybe it'll be a stronger pace in there, and that would certainly help him. He's a good horse. He's just got to run that big race one of these days, you know?
No, well, then he's in the right hands for that. I mean, that...
Yeah, no, I know, but he's got to do it, you know? He's got to do it. He could, otherwise, he's just going to be considered, you know, one of these horses that gets checks in the big races, but he doesn't win them.
Well, there'll be some nice checks handed out on Saturday. It is Man of War, Peter Pan, Run Happy Day at Belmont.
Well, that was some segue to you.
Thank you.
I've been on for 35 minutes. Do you think I've paid my dues?
Well, I didn't come see you over the weekend. I should get some credit for that, right? For not bothering you.
You couldn't have found me if you wanted to.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
You were too busy this weekend. You're a very important man down there. You know, you got a lot. Actually, you know, I got compliments about you from odd people this weekend. I'm getting a little concerned that people are trying to like you so much. See what I can do to screw that up. I don't have any friends. I'm going to look delusional to these other people. I'm not liking you now. I'm a little worried about this. I'm going to the Yankee game tonight.
Excellent.
It's a celebrity crowd going. Not only am I going, I'm going with John and Brial, the world's biggest Yankee fan, and the great Eric Donovan. So it's really going to be a star-studded event. I wonder if they'll show us like they show the celebs at the Garden. What do you think?
Well,
I think Johnny High, they should, you know, now that he's back. He's got a great calling. I caught some of his calls at Belmont.
He sounded fresh.
He was fresh and ready.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's a very
fair point. I haven't seen him because I wasn't at Belmont when we raced. I was there Tuesday and Wednesday, as I said, unfortunately. But I will be seeing him tonight. Well, and no doubt. They'll probably want to have him on, yes.
Well, how about none of you are throwing the first pitch out?
No. New York racing people only throw out first pitches up in Boston. having said that, you know, I'm so important. I was able to score tickets to the Oakland A's game. Have they won a game yet this year?
They're in rough. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You absolutely buried the lead. We're heading to Baltimore. How about the O's?
The O's doing well. They lost two brutal games. Should have swept the Braves.
Well, that 18 inning. That 18 inning affair. Wow.
And they lost last night to the team everybody lose to Tampa. No, they're playing great. Yeah, and I'm very happy for John.
The Tampa. We just should move them to Montreal already. It's crazy. Crazy. You know, not a soul will go. The place is empty every night that they're home. It's silly.
I'm not getting involved in that conversation. You're moving back to Montreal soon, right?
Let me tell you, I'd go in a minute. If Tina would
come. With or without Tina?
We've talked. We've discussed
it. She's ready?
She's close. She's going to retire soon.
Boy, I tell you, the death of Maurice Sendak and Steve Vick leaving Greenwich is going to completely fall apart.
I'm just happy I haven't turned around in anybody's driveway when I'm home.
No, that's not funny.
No, it's not meant to be funny. Yeah, exactly. What is your schedule? You're back on TV Thursday?
What do you think?
I don't know. You take days off here and there, and
I already just took off last week. I got 4 days last week.
That's what I'm saying. You might have turned.
I'm not scheduled to be off in the near future.
You should go on a tour. Delaware's getting ready to open. Monmouth.
That's just what I want. Monmouth races when we race. Delaware, I could go on Monday or Tuesday, but I'm waiting for you to come pick me up.
That's the greatest. That was
a fun day.
Oh my God! And
Freddie Moe was there.
Freddie Moe and John and Haskin. Yeah. And Haskin.
Really, it was a celebrity filled day. Yeah, really excited.
I'll put that picture up for everybody to enjoy.
Please don't. Please don't. Is everybody left?
I don't know.
Where's Papa? Is Papa ready to go on?
No, well, I was sort of waiting for Rusty Arnold, but Rusty's
probably has his phone turned off until at least noon. He's smart.
he knows when the show's over.
Yeah.
Well, and yep. All right. Well, I may give Todd a try because I did.
You haven't had Todd Fletcher on yet?
No. No.
It's pretty shameful. That's why you don't win Eclipse Awards. Well, I'm going to allow you to try to corral one of those greats of the game and get off with mediocrity in the game. We'll talk to you later.
Andy Serling, everybody, back on television Thursday. Oh, my God. It's just unbelievable. Too funny. All right, I'm going to try. Let me try Todd because I told him, this is Todd Fletcher hour. We'll see if he's game. Otherwise, we'll catch up on a few other things because it's tight here at the end of the morning, but. He very frequently Tuesday at 11:45 is historically. Well, that's a no. So, no Todd. All right. So be it. We will maybe. I had hoped to find somebody else to flesh out the KHRC, the variety of KHRC. Questions. We did. I am delighted that we were able to get an answer from Shug about that, and I'm sure Shug was happy to get an answer. What Tyler Gaffalione explained to him. If you missed it earlier, the reason it turns out that Talk of the Nation was scratched was a horse kind of. Came up apparently to he and to Tyler and talk of the nation, and spooked him a little, and he got his feet, legs, kind of tangled with the pony, and that was enough to for the state vet, you know, to throw the hanky and scratch the talk of the nation. It's one thing. Yeah, it's one thing if the horse, you know, gets cut up, you know, shoe, you know, but this, I don't know. I think all of us, you know, that we're sort of mystified. I think you're probably more mystified hearing this now that that's all it was. So, all right, let me go through the rest of this. I saved up. I had other. There was other stakes. There was other performances from the weekend. Let me slip these in. And we also have to talk, you know, because that 2-year-old, the one, the Kentucky Juvenile. You almost had me. How about that? That was a very nice effort on Thursday. And, you know, we dove right into the weekend preview. All right, here it is. There we go. Thursday. And Brad Cox, I know there was obviously disappointment when it came to the features on Friday and Saturday. Angel of Empire, third, and Hitcho, fifth. Both, you know, solid efforts. Can't be overly disappointed with those. Jace's Road, in retrospect, I mean, there. Actually, Andy hinted at that. You know, that there's horses that, you know, you say later, you know, what did we? You know, he barely got a call. And verifying. In fact, the bluegrass horses finished 7th, 8th, 11th, and 16th. Yeah. So that it really did not translate well. All right. And then on the Oaks front, of course, Wet Paint, the style, the running style, did catch up, and that was the right time to look elsewhere. Botanical did not take to the dirt either, by the way. That became quite clear. Of course, the Alley's Look was third. So, yeah, third and fourth in the Oaks. But the rest of the weekend, lots of success for the Cox Barn. And that included Matarea with the upset, having Goodnight Olive pinned down. And Zozo's, who won the Knicks Go, the only non-graded stake of Saturday. And then on Friday, Caravelle and Heavenly Sunday and Bill Harrigan. Maya Comet. And actually he had that other horse too, on Thursday, that ran nicely. That just got beat. Churchtown behind Annapolis got beat ahead at 8-1. That was also Harrigan. So two nice results. Heavenly Sunday winning the Edgewood and Churchtown. I should really have Harrigan on, actually. Mig tomorrow, by the way, those of you that were looking for Mig, he hosted the New York Breeding Awards last night. We'll get those in probably tomorrow as well. Another race from Thursday, Bango, the nice win for the Foley Barn with Miles Ahead, Samantha Siegel, second. And here it is. Nope, that's still not it. Where is the juvenile, the Kentucky juvenile? This is frustrating. See, I you'd be surprised. I actually have them. I'm pretty well organized with this, but I don't know where. Oh, there. It was out of order. This is a Oxbow filly, bred by the McLeans, Pope and company, Pope Jr. and so forth, and was a private purchase. And from what we understand, from John Hancock, who debuted at Keeneland, was a big winner, nice winner. So that'll be a two-year-old that you're going to want to follow. All right. And, one thing I've got to bring in with Andy, although he wasn't there anyway, a terrific week in New York for the Dutrow brothers. Anthony wins his 2000th race, and Rick Dutrow wins his first, coming back after the grossly unfair, punitive penalty that was levied upon him. So, pretty good week. Week Friday and Saturday for the Dutrow brothers. When we get to New York, we will catch up with hopefully with both. I actually reached out to Tony recently on a different topic. So that's it. All right, just in time too, because I'm reaching for the wire a little bit. There was one stake, because this came up last night with Billy Rappaport. Jake Delhomme at Evangeline in the Evangeline Classic, I think Saturday, touched upon a star, a 102 buyer in that Evangeline Classic with Tim Thornton aboard. 102. Yeah. Nice. We've talked with him about Mac Robertson, too. Willow Creek Road, the Arkansas Breeders' Championship, as they wrapped up things at Oaklawn. The Lake Hamilton, Steve Asmussen and Ricardo Santana with Skelly. And the Lake Washita, Ain't Life Grand for Kelly Von Hemel. And in the Natural State Breeders, Kaboom Baby for, is it Ernie Witt? Ernie Witt, I think, right? And Louis Canonius. So, great season comes to an end in Hot Springs. We come to an end of the Tuesday recap. We got more to do tomorrow. Probably a little Mark Cassie and a little Rusty Arnold and more. And, of course, Dick Powell. Dick was the only pundit to include Mage. Great job there by Dick. Sid, we'll do Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, and celebrate good magic. In fact, that perform, who's going to perform in the Preakness, he's a good magic. Seth Merrow and Miggs. Join us tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Replay 6 to 9 and archive and podcast later on.
The Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America, but we're also proud to be leaders in this industry.